How's it going? Welcome to the Football Diary podcast on FA Cup third round week. And there's been a fair few upsets to talk about, it's fair to say. We'll be zooming in on the Premier League teams that are worth analysing slash laughing at from this round of games. Starting off with probably, I think, the biggest upset of the round, which is Newcastle losing at home to Cambridge on Kieran Trippier's debut. So we'll look into that first of all and why that even happened. Great result for Cambridge nonetheless. And also Arsenal in their all-white strip losing away at Forest. I think that's worth talking about too. And maybe Everton's comeback and extra time win against Hull. All kind of different, I don't know, maybe potential season changes for them. Who knows? But definitely the ones worth talking about today. And any others we think might be worth mentioning too. But yeah, I'm with Dave today. Miles isn't here with us, but just me and Dave just to analyse these games and... How's it been, Dave? Have you enjoyed the weekend of FA Cup third round football? It always feels different, doesn't it, this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, the few games that were televised, they were a little bit, you know, easy to forget because a couple of them were quite drab games to go. But yeah, I mean, there's been a couple, especially the Newcastle result and Arsenal losing to Forest again. I think they lost a few seats. They got put out the FA Cup a couple of years ago to Forest. So, yeah, they're obviously proving to be a bit of a bogey team for Arsenal.
Yeah, I'll start with Newcastle first, actually, because they paraded Kieran Trippier before the game and obviously he started. The first signing, really, of the new era there. And not the best of starts, it's fair to say. Although Cambridge were kind of good money for their 1-0 win, weren't they? I thought they did really well on the balance of play.
Yeah, it was, you know, an interesting game, actually. And in a light, it kind of shows how difficult a position Newcastle are in at the moment. You know, even with some of the teams they've got in there, that you'd think, you know, they'd be able to comprehensively put away a team like Cambridge, all due respect to them. But as we've seen, you know, in the history of the FA Cup, when, you know, these smaller teams get drawn against some of the big boys, they're, you know, there's an extra incentive to kind of put their name out there and, you know, make a name for themselves. And I thought a couple of the young kids that Cambridge had on the pitch, particularly the wide men, actually played really well. Caused problems for Newcastle, and you know it's not been, you know, this season. I think we can only kind of go off of what we've seen in the Premier League from Newcastle, let alone you know against the opposition of that kind of stature. Teams have been able to get at them, and they look vulnerable. They've looked vulnerable against most teams, and they know that they can be got at. So I think it's a dangerous situation for any team like that, where, you know, a team like Cambridge, they've not got anything to lose coming to this game. You know, they're probably thinking the pressure's off.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do. And in a way, that might be a bit of a confidence boost for them, really, because they know that Newcastle are, you know, completely, you know, rock bottom at the moment. So
pretty much, yeah. I think that's the thing. You were talking about how up for it Cambridge were. And I think that's kind of the theme of the teams that did produce these upsets this weekend. They just had that extra fire in them. And I think the ones that played at home, Nottingham Forest in particular, the crowd were just so wrapped up in the occasion, weren't they? That you could just feel it meant more to them. And I know a few of the teams, the Premier League teams, rested players, but Newcastle had a pretty strong squad, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think on the balance of their season and how it's potentially going to play out, the FA Cup could have been a really good opportunity for them to actually make some progress this season, couldn't it? So why not go all out and try and win the game?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be surprising to a few people. I think especially that lineup at Newcastle, you know, like you say there, a lot of teams did field some younger players this season, the likes of Liverpool and, you know, Man City threw in a few youth players in there with a few experienced players. There was a bit of a blend. And, you know, a lot of people might think, oh, well, Newcastle probably did the same thing. It was completely, you know, not the theme that they went with. And they did field a really strong team. And I think probably one of the worrying things really is that, you know, what's their kind of in, you know, their incentive? Are they motivated for the game? You know, are they? And that's a worrying thing, and especially from a few of the big teams really that put kind of below subpar performances in the season, where players are kind of thrown into these teams to make and kind of prove themselves and prove that they should be a fixture in the first 11. They've not really kind of done themselves justice. And again, you know, it's I'm sure it's a bit embarrassing, really, for kind of Trippier to come in and make his debut against Cambridge and kind of get them get taken apart like that. Is I mean, obviously they did have some dominant spells in the game, like you'd expect any team against that kind of opposition. But I didn't really learn anything new from Newcastle.
Not really. They were good at creating chances, but the difference was Cambridge took the chance they had, their golden opportunity, and really great, well-taken goal as well. Newcastle, I think, had 23 shots altogether and didn't look like threatening with hardly any of them. Having said that, the goalkeeper kept Cambridge in it on many, many occasions. So it had all of those ingredients for a really good cup upset where the backs were against the wall for large periods. I think Newcastle probably could have gone 3 or 4 goals up. The question now is, why aren't they taking chances? Because they are seeming to create more under Eddie Howe, but they just haven't got very many talented players up front, have they, really? I mean, how many goal scorers have they got to rely on now Callum Wilson's out of the team?
No, and that's the thing we're really reading, obviously, in the tabloids now is, you know, in these last couple of days that, you know, they're desperate to get players in and, you know, the reality is setting in for the board and the new owners that how difficult it is to kind of operate in this market. And, you know, there was talk of them getting another centre back in. They've been interested in Botman, apparently, from overseas. I think they've had a £35 million bid rejected to him. But you know, I can't. There's so many issues in that team that it's hard to identify where they need to kind of where they need to put to the front. You know, their priorities.
Yeah.
Because they're struggling to defend and they're struggling to create to score goals. So. It's kind of, it's a difficult one to kind of to pinpoint where they should kind of look to focus on.
Yeah, I think they've been linked to so many names in this January transfer window. Naturally, I think with the amount of money they've got to spend, that's always going to be the case. But we've answered this question before, haven't we, whether any players in their right mind would want to get involved in a relegation battle and potentially a championship season. Anyone with any kind of profile knows that's probably going to be the prospect for next season. So I'm surprised Trippier has gone there, to be honest, especially in January. I thought he'd maybe see how the season played out. And if they survive relegation, maybe jump in then. So why has Trippier gone there now? That begs the question for me. I'm guessing it's money related. And I think it was quite at pains to say it was nothing to do with financial incentives, wasn't it, in his interviews? But has to be, doesn't it, surely?
I mean, there were murmurs, you know, since last summer, really, when he was linked with United and we were apparently interested in him, that he wanted to turn to the north just because his family are all kind of from that area, from Manchester area. So,
yeah,
I mean, that could have been, you know, a factor within it, we don't know. But, I mean, he's kind of been abroad and won a major title. So he's kind of gone and done what he set out to do. So potentially, you know, he's looking to, you know, his career's kind of, I suppose, at 31, you're kind of at the end of your, coming towards the end of your career. So, I mean, maybe it's just, it could be that. It's the, you know, that he sees
maybe
his time as potentially a player at the very top or a player, you know, that can see his place in that England team obviously is pretty much under threat, and I'd be surprised if he's within that England squad probably in the next year or so. I think he'll.
Well, I don't know. Southgate likes him, and I think this is probably him kind of throwing his hands up and going, my England career is probably finished now because everyone else in this position is in pretty good form. That's a bit of a shame that he's thinking that way if it is the case.
I think he's got to be realistic though as well. And I think a lot of players, what we've seen over the years is, you know, kind of retire from international duties in a you know, an attempt to kind of prolong their you know, league career. So I think it's, you might be potentially thinking that. You might be looking at it and thinking, well, we've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, they've got Reece James in there, and they've got Kyle Walker, who perfectly able to play it right back. And I feel as though, you know, you might be looking at it in that way. And let's be honest, there's more players than that even that, you know, we can fit in at that right back role. And as we've seen with Southgate, he likes to kind of look to the future. So I think he probably will be looking to kind of get some of those younger players in there now.
Yeah, potentially. It's just a bit of a strange one for me. I mean, it makes sense for Newcastle, but it doesn't make much sense for him. That's the only thing I'm feeling. But if it is a bit of homesickness and a bit of being close to his family right now at this stage of his career, I kind of understand that as well. Either way, not the best start for Trippier or for Newcastle, really, for an FA Cup, really. They had a good chance of going quite deep in, so a shame for them. But moving on to Arsenal next, at the City Ground, they lost to Nottingham Forest, late goal, 1-0 in their all-white strip, for a good cause, actually. I think it was for against knife crime in London that they're wearing that strip. But I think Roy Keane said that they looked like Real Madrid but played like a pub team or something like that. So didn't serve them very well. They rested a lot of players, but still had Saka, Martinelli, Odegaard, you know, some really good players in there, but couldn't see anything close to the Nottingham Forest goal. What the hell happened there? You know, they were really disappointing, weren't they?
Yeah, and it's strange, really, because they looked so, you know, it was just so inept, the performance, kind of from back to front. And,
yeah,
you know, we saw a few of the players that were actually in there that played well, performed well for Arsenal this season. And, you know, we had the likes of Martinelli, who's kind of reinvigorated them in ways in games this season. Who's come back in, you know, obviously on Aubameyang's absence. Odegaard, you know, Tavares was at fullback and ended up getting hauled off because he had an absolute mare much of that first half. So, you know, it's a strange one. It's not un-Arsenal-like, that's the thing, is it? It's, you know, we've seen it, especially over this last couple of years, I'd say, where they kind of string a few performances together and we think, oh, you know, Arteta's kind of turning this around now. You know, they're looking like a team, and that's they've certainly kind of given that, you know, that feeling, especially the last run of games they've had in the league, and obviously their last performance against Man City, where they played really well and were unfortunate, you know, not to get something from that game. But there was just no, looked like there was no desire, but the passing was just so poor. It was so slow, and it was like watching what we've seen, you know, for United the last
very season. Pedestrian, yeah. But not only that, but they had zero shots on target as well, so toothless up front.
And the thing that's strange for me as well is obviously they played in Nketiah up top, and kind of already stated his desire that he doesn't want to sign a new contract. He wants to go and seek, you know, first team football. So I don't really know why they're playing him, and, you know, whether they've got somebody else in there who they could have played. Mm. Like, if Nketiah doesn't want to sign a new contract, why are they starting in the first 11?
I don't know. You have to assume they're just underestimating Forest a little bit. And they, if that's the case, they got kind of what they deserved, really.
Yeah, the thing is, Forest have been playing well, especially since Steve Cooper came in. They've performed really well in the league, and they're in and about the playoffs now. So, you know, they're not a team that should be kind of, you know, underestimated.
Not at all.
I think the thing is, when you put in some, especially some younger players in, who, I wouldn't even say Arsenal played that many younger players who aren't.
Not really.
There was a lot of experienced young players in there who've had a lot of game time this season. So I don't even think you can make many excuses for them. And I kind of agree to, you know, a lot of the things that were said after the game from other pundits, you know, that how just uninspiring the performance was. I mean, I didn't see the comments from Arteta after the game, but I can imagine they wouldn't have been good.
Well, he apologised to the fans for the performance, and I'm guessing he feels like really let down by some of the players there, because he put a very good team out. You know, they should have been more competitive, definitely, and just didn't produce anything of note, really. It's such a dull performance from them, so flat. But what I will say, and Miles will probably have a say on this as well next time we see him, is that Keenan Davis led the line really well for Forest, didn't he? And he's on loan from Villa, of course, and he looks like a prospect. So there are some players who were there with something to prove on the other side. And so just a pity Arsenal didn't have the same desire, really.
I mean, in a way, I think Forest will be a bit disappointed, especially with that first half, because they had a lot of chances. It was often their final ball that kind of let them down in promising areas where they could have really kind of put it on Arsenal, and they kind of lacked that little bit of cutting edge in the final third. And it, you know, that first half, they could easily have been a couple of goals up, and Arsenal wouldn't really have had, you know, couldn't really say anything about it, because Forest did look more threatening. I was really impressed by Joe Spence at fullback for them. I think he's on loan from Middlesbrough, but I've not actually seen him play before. But he looked actually really good, like quick, skillful on the ball. He had end product and link play really well. Like, I've not heard anything of him before, so he played really well. Obviously, Garner played quite well in midfield in spells for. He's on loan from United.
Yeah,
obviously good to see as a United fan, but yeah, I don't see. There was a lot of encouraging things I saw in, and Lewis Graben came on and he did what we know he can do. He scored so many goals in the Championship for a few teams, and yeah, he made those clever runs sort of in through the channels. He had a couple of opportunities, and he took his opportunity, and that was a great ball in for the goal. From the wide area, it was like perfect, inch perfect. It wasn't much margin for error with that cross, and the finish was brilliant. So I can imagine they'll be buzzing Forest, and that'll be some incentive for them going into the rest of the Championship season, and obviously a big game now against Leicester. So that'll be an interesting one.
I think that's the thing with Forest. They've been a sleeping giant for so many years, haven't they? They've been out of the Premier League for, God, so long. But they've always been a team that you associate with being a potential Premier League team. And it's just a shame to see them in the wilderness for so long. A bit like Leeds were, isn't it? When Leeds were just floundering in the Championship for as long as they were. Forest are kind of that sort of team, really. They've won the European Cup before, so they've got pedigree. Hopefully they can have some consistency now, because they've had so many managers over the years, haven't they? And like you say, Cooper's done a great job since he's been there. Maybe this is the start of a bit of stability. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, I feel as though they're a club kind of like searching for some direction, as you say, about with the managers. They've had quite a few managers and some good names in there. Obviously, Chris Hughton was one of them. They just couldn't kind of obviously perform under him. Yeah. They've done a really good job in Premier League, there's a lot of will there to kind of go in the right direction, and they want to get back into the Premier League, obviously. So, well, I suppose it'd be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah, looking good, one to watch. But again, similar to Newcastle with Arsenal, such a missed opportunity to not take a chance to progress in the cup, because I mean, they've got a team that would really benefit from a good cup run, wouldn't they? And they've got a team of fairly young players that haven't really gone deep in this kind of competition before. So why not go all out and try for that? Really disappointed. I thought they would actually make a good go of it this season. And pleased for Forest, but gutted for an Arsenal perspective, really, because that would show a sign for me that they're progressing if they made a good FA Cup run. And they've got pedigree in the competition as well, haven't they? So it's not like them to not get far in the FA Cup.
Yeah, it's a strange one, because obviously even the last few years, obviously when they have won the FA Cup, they've not even been, a particularly great team in those years that they have gone deep into the competition. It's just they've just had a knack of actually doing quite well at the competition. So, it's sort of a bit interesting that it puts a lot of pressure on, obviously, their semi-final against Liverpool now. So obviously, there's Arteta's 100% going to be looking for a big reaction there from his team. I think he'll, that'll tell him a lot about those players, how they respond to that. I can't imagine Liverpool will play too many younger players in. They might be forced to, just because of the position they're in with injuries and, the COVID situation. They might feel as though they've got a few players that aren't quite 100% match fit. So, that'll be another interesting one. So it'll be fascinating to see where Arsenal go and how they set up for that game. It's Thursday, isn't it, this week?
Yeah.
So
that'll be interesting. I think that'd be a good gauge of how seriously both teams are taking the competition as well. Because I know traditionally Liverpool are quite dismissive of the League Cup. And if they're at this stage and they're still not taking it seriously, then they're never going to, are they, really? But golden opportunity for Arsenal, again, like I said, to progress further into another cup competition. But I mean, based on what we've seen, it's not been great in the FA Cup. So
the thing is, I think Liverpool probably field a stronger team than you think they might, just for the fact that I think there's a bit of an acknowledgement there that Man City are well ahead in the Premier League. They're going to do well to kind of, catch catch them up really, and this is a big opportunity for them to win some silverware. So, you know, the League Cup, and you know they're in the Champions League, they'll be in the mix for that. I'm sure they'll kind of have their eyes set on some silverware, and just to add to that, over the last, you know, last 2 or 3 years, they've actually had a really good run with honours. So no doubt they'll be up for it. I can't see them being under par. A Jurgen Klopp team being under par anyway. But
yeah. Yeah, fascinating encounter. One team that really couldn't afford, or one manager that really couldn't afford to slip up in the FA Cup, is probably Rafa Benitez and Everton. I think he's and they are on a run that is looking really horrific for them. So if they'd have lost to Hull, which they very nearly did, that would have been some serious pressure on him. But they won 3-2 with the help of extra time and a great Andros Townsend winner, actually. And what a relief for them, really, after the season they've had so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that kind of that's sort of made me look at some of these games, especially some of the games between Championship and Premier League games, is it's been a lot tighter than it has in previous years. And I think that's in, you've got to give a lot of credit to the Championship. I feel as though the quality in that league is vastly underrated. And it's an entertaining league to watch. It's a really entertaining league to watch. And just kind of how close it is, sort of mid-table, even around the obviously relegation areas. Look at the likes of Derby County doing how well they're doing at the moment. You know, I feel as though the gap's been closed. There's some good players, some young players. I feel it's probably revitalized youth academies that are really kind of, you know, providing more depth, you know, strength and depth, and the youth are coming through, providing clubs with a little bit more than what we've seen in, you know, in the past. And it's just been, it feels more competitive of late, definitely. And even some of the, obviously, League One or League Two teams.
Yeah.
You know, the FA Cup's been renowned for kind of providing an upset, but I feel as though some of these, you know, Championship teams are probably surprise a lot of people.
Definitely.
Neutrals and kind of not used to really watching some of these games. But yeah, I mean, Everton, I don't know if you can call it slightly lucky escape, because for a lot of the game, Hull were really looking, you know, looking like the only team kind of who looked like they had any sort of threat about them. Once they took the league, it looked like they were going to extend it, barring a couple of good saves Begovic had from a couple of their efforts on goal. One player you got mentioned again is Demarai Gray. Scored a really good goal. I feel as though he's... It's a strange situation, because he's kind of come into that role with his, you know, the price tag that he was at. I suppose there's been not a huge amount of pressure sort of on his shoulders. He's just been asked to go in there and, you know, make an impact and provide a bit of threat. And he's been the best player this season, really.
Easily.
You know, I don't think there's many players in there that you can probably say, I can't really highlight too many that have kind of had a really, you know, solid season. Richarlison in moments, but obviously they've had a lot of injuries. You know, Calvert-Lewin's been out for quite a while. And, you know, they're struggling. And it's a strange one, because, you know, I just don't know if the setup of that club or is right for Benitez.
It's not.
How he's kind of come in. And obviously we've spoken about this, you know, over the last few months, haven't we, really, about how he's come into the club, and people have questioned his profile. And, you know, let's be honest, they've got some good players in there. It's just how it's the recruitment policy, whether they're the right players to play with each other. It's, you know, it's quite similar to what we've seen at United, really. And, you know, a lot of squad depth and strength in, you know, in a few of the players, and really good players, but it just seems as though we don't have any sort of, there's no real project there to kind of go forward, and any sort of real direction to where anyone knows where they're going. You know,
it was a weird one, because they spent a lot of money, didn't they, over the last few years, and I think that's why they've had to make slightly lower key transfers this season with Gray, only costing what, a couple of million pounds, if that. And Andros Townsend was a free transfer, I believe. So some strange ones after the seasons they've had, spending quite silly money on wages as well for the players like Sigurdsson. And, you know, there's a few there that have just been absolute flops. And they've spent money on them and they're paying the price, I think. So I think Benitez, if he'd have had that money back in the last few seasons, he probably would have spent it a lot more wisely than previous managers have. So it's frustrating for an Everton fan, really. I wish we could get an Everton fan on the pod, really, just to get their opinion. So if you're an Everton fan and you want to jump on, let me know. But yeah, Everton's a really strange one. Like you say, no direction, no project, really. But this result in particular, I think, has been a real bit of breathing space for Benitez, because I don't think he'll be there next season. He might see out this season and sort of stumble to a lower mid-table finish with them. But that would only be because the teams below them are worse. That's the only reason I think they'd actually finish higher than a relegation battle. But they're not out of the woods yet with that, really, are they? They could still get sucked into a relegation battle if they don't turn their league form around.
The interesting thing is that, you know, the state that they're in, even a young and promising manager like, for instance, Graham Potter comes into there. And because of the expectation that's on him to sort that absolute mess out, you know, I feel it's unfair, really, to place somebody like him in, you know, that position.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we say, obviously, the kind of the route they've gone down with their recruitment policy, they've kind of just had a, you know, scattergun approach to it. You know, the likes of, you know, former kind of, you know, superstars, the likes of James Rodriguez. And then obviously in past, we've seen the likes of the kind of brought Ademola Lookman in, you know, had a look at him. They've obviously had Delafeu, who was, you know, their probably their best player when up until he left. Some of these younger players who have tried to kind of invest a bit of time and development in, but for some reason decided not to persevere with it. And as we've seen from Ademola Lookman at Leicester, you know, he's a good player. He's definitely good enough for Everton. So, you know, it's a bit of an enigma, so to speak.
Definitely. There's a few other FA Cup fixtures that happened over the weekend that stood out. There's a bit disappointing, absolute easy wins for the likes of Chelsea against Chesterfield. Obviously, Liverpool won quite heavily and Man City beat Swindon, was it 4-1 in the end? So a few really predictable ties, you could say, for the stage of the season. Is there any games other than those that stood out for you, mate?
I think you've got to give a mention to Kidderminster. For what they, you know, achieved as a team, and obviously they've got a big game in the next round that they're at home. So, you know, that's, you know, a big story, and the stories that we kind of like to see in the FA Cup. As much as we like seeing the big teams against each other, you know, it's always nice to kind of, I suppose, it's see the unachievable achieved.
Yeah, it's a bit of romance, isn't it? I mean, we don't see much of that. And the Premier League week in, week out is drubbings for the big 2-3 teams against the rest. And you don't want to see that. You know, you want to see people raise their game like Forest, like Cambridge, and come out with a victory. So I think for me, that's been something that I've been happy to see happen this weekend. And the games we've talked about have not just been the most exciting ones, but they're the ones really that have kind of reaffirmed my belief that the FA Cup's really a good competition still. You know, it's worth seeing. There's been a few real absolute crackers. There's some really good goals scored as well from some of the lower league teams.
Yeah.
I think was it Barnsley 5, Barrow 4 was one that was just end-to-end. 9 goals in that game. That was wicked. It kind of begs the question in some ways, why did you not televise other games that aren't Premier League teams? Because that's all we had this week.
One of the previous game we were just talking about, the Hall goal, was it from Longman? That side curler into the far corner, that was a ridiculous finish. It looked really easy. And yeah, I mean, you know, we kind of look at the FA Cup, but I think we remember especially, you know, the special goals that are scored. I hope to see a lot more. And I think we've missed, especially when, you know, during COVID, we've missed a lot of, you know, of the romance, and, you know, the fans are a large part of that, especially. And so it's, you know, it's almost like a bit of a breath of fresh air, I feel.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What would you like to see on a televised FA Cup game? Because it's great when they do come on like terrestrial TV. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to see two Premier League teams play each other. Ideally, I'd like to see a Championship or below team at home against a Premier League team, or, you know, a smaller ground getting some televised appearance. You know, I mean, we had Tottenham Marine last year. Do you remember that at Marine's ground? That was wicked. That was like really FA Cup in a nutshell for me. And that's the kind of game I want to see really televised. What about you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I don't know about you, but kind of obviously when I was younger and, you know, used to play football, or you just kind of go down to and watch a bit of Sunday League, and you kind of remember what it's sort of like to see on some of, especially some of the smaller grounds and smaller stadiums. I definitely prefer kind of to see it in the smaller teams venue, and just because it kind of gives the game a bit of a, you know, a bit of a momentum on sort of the home yeah. team side and the underdog side. But it kind of lets you see a bit of a different dimension to it. And yeah, I suppose it kind of, I definitely feel more gripped by it, you know, if it's in a, you know, one of the smaller grounds, and kind of getting a bit of different perspective from those fans, and they give a bit of, you know, a bit of an opinion from, you know, from the smaller teams fans, and you hear about just how kind of gripped they are by the whole scenario and how much they're looking forward to it. And I think it kind of, you know, like you say, it kind of romanticizes the whole situation even more. I feel as though for myself, definitely, it's those sort of games that you love to see, and, you know, the unexpected happen. So,
well, that's the thing. We Leeds versus West Ham, and both sort of fairly second string teams. I don't want to see that on TV. You know, you see that on Sky most weekends. You know, that kind of fixture. You know, what I want to see is, I want to see a smaller team get some exposure, and I want to see a smaller team receive some TV money as well, because the Premier League teams don't necessarily need it. So the Cup should be about that, in my opinion. And some of the goals we've seen from some of the teams this weekend that aren't Premier League or even Championship has just been amazing. And you can just feel a lot of passion coming through from the crowds at these smaller stadiums as well. There's a lot more atmosphere there. It's a lot more raucous. And when a goal is scored, I mean, a bit like the Chelsea game, I know it was at home, Chelsea beat Chesterfield 5-1. But when Chesterfield scored their consolation goal, they went mental. That was great. You know, that's what you want to see. It meant a lot to them. So I think anything else is just a bit more of the status quo, isn't it? It's a bit more of the Super League style hollow feeling to it. And you don't want to feel like that football's all hollow and shallow.
So yeah, the game you do mention there, West Ham Leeds one, I did see quite a bit of that, and it was terrible.
Awful.
The game. It was just, felt like there was kind of no real appetite from either team, really. And, you know, one of my friends was saying it did feel like a bit of an exhibition in a way, because the players that they did put out, they were largely kind of first team players. So there wasn't even sort of a, you know, they fielded a few, you know, youngsters where you thought, oh, you know, I've not seen this player play, or they gave an opportunity to a few of their younger players. So, I mean, like you say there, you know, I suppose more of the unknown is, you know, better for the competition itself. And I think that's what we love about it.
Yeah, definitely. So looking forward to United playing tonight against Villa. I'll say looking forward to it. I'm pretty pessimistic. I think United fans generally, after the last showing against Newcastle, are not holding out a lot of hope. And I think it's fair to say Villa fans are probably more optimistic about tonight's game. Pity Miles isn't here really to go through his opinion, but how are you feeling, Dave? Do you think we'll see a response from United?
I'm not very hopeful. We're obviously playing Villa twice in the space of, what, 5 days is it now? So
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see how we kind of approach both games. I know Villa are missing a few players. They've got quite a few players out. I think Ollie Watkins is a doubt. Bailey is obviously missing as well. And there's a couple more, I think. But, you know, their squad is a lot stronger than it was, you know, a year ago. They brought some good players in there. So, and we've seen what a Steven Gerrard team can do and how they perform, you know, that it's 100% commitment. And we know he's going to try and get the best out of his team. So it's not going to be an easy game. No way. And, you know, especially Steven Gerrard's team, how he feels about United, if that kind of, you know, will and sort of...
it's just dislike, isn't it? He just doesn't like United.
That kind of gets thrust upon his players, then,
you know,
it's a really difficult game. And it's going to be interesting to see sort of how United set up, I think.
I think Ralph Rangnick said that the FA Cup especially is something he's going to take seriously, because silverware is something United have lacked for so long, that a cup run and especially going for the actual trophy itself is super important for a team that's still in transition, really. So you'd hope that message would be filtered down to the players.
I mean, I've seen a lot of murmurs today, a couple of leaks of saying that they might go five at the back, wing backs and three centre backs, and two on holding midfielders with two strikers. So we'll see if that happens. But
yeah,
I'm not confident, just because of everything that's come out of the club, especially in the last week, with just kind of schoolboy leaks that come out. You know, this player isn't happy about this happening at the club. Or not even naming a name. It's sort of basically they're all doing a Lukaku, but doing it anonymously, and it's going out to the tabloids. And I just think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a bit clicky, and, you know, it's not a happy camp, but I just feel as though I'm just fed up with it now, really.
Yeah, I think that we've realised, I think, as United fans, that the problems at the club are a lot deeper than we realised. And a lot of it is behind the scenes, a lot of it is in the dressing room. I think the problem lies with a certain few players, and we'll never know, really, who those players are. And we can probably have a guess. But Luke Shaw was quite... he stopped short of naming names, didn't he, after the Newcastle game? But he said that there isn't unity in the team, and he said that some players just aren't giving their all. And that's the thing I think that will matter tonight, is that whoever has the most desire to win the game will probably end up winning the game. So if United can show up, then great. But something tells me that Villa might be up for it more, which is worrying.
Obviously, I sent, you know, the link earlier that came out about, you know, the players not being happy about Ronaldo, kind of how he's not happy with the standard, and, you know, he wants, you know, a better standard, and everyone can offer more and do better. And I think there's a lot of players kind of sort of a little bit bitter about certain players being starting in the first 11 every week. But, I mean, you know, they can't really have an argument, especially how the same... We've had the same players in the squad for a number of years now. You know, Rashford's been around for, quite a few years. Martial's been there for 6-7 years.
Yeah,
it's not like a new team, and then they've kind of got the nerve to come out and moan about players that have won things and have played, like, for instance, moaning about Ronaldo, who's, let's be honest, they're kind of acting like it's almost, you know, their club, and he's sort of some sort of, you know, imposter who's come into the club, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't belong here. But he's been at the club before, all of these players, a lot of them who were, you know, especially some of the younger ones who weren't even, you know, probably alive.
Yeah.
When he first came to the club, you know, Mason Greenwood, for instance, he's probably just about been born. And I just feel as though that, you know, there's been a lack of mentality. And, you know, you do hear about things that there's been a huge kind of drop in standards from the very top. And
it's
kind of shown, especially over the last 10 years. And it shows how, Alex Ferguson and David Gill kind of held that club together, because once they left, it just fell apart, and
yeah,
kind of felt it's fallen to pieces. So, yeah, like you say, we'll just have to see, I suppose, how tonight goes, and hope for the best.
So that's our obligatory United section out of the way. We can move on now. By the sounds of it, you don't hold out much hope, but we'll see. We've got a really amazing weekend of football next weekend. I don't know if you've seen which fixtures are happening, but me and Miles talked about it last time out. It's Man City against Chelsea, which is basically a must-win for Chelsea, isn't it, in the Premier League on Saturday. I think it's Newcastle-Watford as well, which could really change the shape of the relegation battle as well. So I think next pod will be a fascinating one. Make sure you tune in for that one. Hit subscribe, hit like on this video just to sort of influence the algorithm if you can. It'd be great to have your support. We're still growing as a channel, and this should be our year, hopefully, to sort of grow a bit more. So if you can add to our subscriber tally, that'd be superb. If you're listening on Spotify as well, just hit follow. That'd be amazing. But for now, Dave, thank you for your time. We'll see how the FA Cup matches go tonight for United, and hopefully won't have to delve and pick over that result like we have done over every single game for United recently. But fingers crossed, it would be a positive thing to rub in Miles's face, hey, when he gets back.
Hopefully, but, you know, we'll see, I suppose. I'll try not to be too downbeat about things, and you've got to live in the moment, I suppose, sometimes.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, mate. Speak to you soon, yeah?
Yeah. See you later.
Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.